your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Welcome to Mind, Brain, and Body with Dr. Michael John Kell. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are solely those of the host, guest, and callers. Now helping you live a more productive and fulfilling life, Dr. Michael John Kell.
And thank you all again for joining Mind, Brain, and Body. Appreciate you all. And I'm very happy to report that we must have a lot of repeat listeners because our numbers stay nice and high and somewhat similar, which is good. Today, we're actually going back to a different subject, and we're going to be talking about Qigong. And we're going to be talking to a Qigong expert. She may disagree when I say that, but I think she is from reading her book. And we're talking to Shoshana Katzman, who's been instructor of Qigong and Tai Chi for like 25 years plus, I guess. And she's also the vice president, or at least she used to be, of the National Qigong Association. And she has a clinic in New Jersey. And we're going to talk about a book that came out recently. Exactly when, but pretty recently, called Qigong for Staying Young, a simple 20-minute workout to cultivate vital energy, which is from Avery, which is part of Penguin Group, and it's available in bookstores. Good morning. How are you today?
Hi, Michael.
I really appreciate you taking time to come, and I really like your book a lot from a training perspective.
Yes.
Because one of the things, I mean, you know, and you know, but a lot of people don't realize is that much easier to learn something through imitation and through doing.
Mm-hmm.
So the old ancestral procedural learning memory system, which is much more primitive than our semantic system.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really good that you focus on that, because I know your book's in three parts. And you guys, this is a really good book. Even the pictures, you can actually tell what she's doing, which is sort of amazing, I think, for an exercise book. Because a lot of times you don't have enough pictures, so it's hard to tell what you're supposed to do. But she starts off with actually teaching you a 20-minute workout using Qigong exercises, and it's very clearly written. And I think if you have a mirror or somewhere you can see a reflection, something you can actually learn from this book.
Absolutely. Plus, I have a DVD that there's no words, no talking, just beautiful flute music. So you can learn it from the book, and you can also use the DVD to help you follow me in those movements.
Actually, let me ask you a question. In terms of, Oriental medicine,
yes.
Because the concept of of learning first and then figuring out how it works later, is that like a basic concept in Oriental?
Yes, yes. It's to experience it and to not clutter your mind with all these words and all these concepts, but to experience qi, the vital energy that you use when you do qigong, when you cultivate your qi. Qi means vital energy. Gong is work. Or cultivate. So when you're cultivating, it really, and that's how I learned it, by doing it first and then reading. Oh, okay, now I know what I was experiencing. This makes sense, yes.
Have you come across other people who try to teach it oppositely over the years?
Yeah, well, I think that oftentimes they're very cerebral, It's the same thing, I'm an acupuncturist as well. Sometimes you go to an acupuncturist and they are so clinical and they're so to the book and they're so with all this information that they completely miss the energetics of it, and it's really energy medicine. It's an art where you're combining the information with the energy and the feelings and the guidance that you get, almost like you're creating a painting. So the same thing happens when you're doing these movements. You're creating this painting, this pattern of energy that's within you by doing these movements. So it's much better to not know so much, of all the facts. And even like when I teach, I don't talk a lot when I teach. I see these other teachers where they're just explaining it the whole time, and I think it gets in the way of the actual experience of the energy.
I mean, it seems to be true, like most everything we do, if they give us a little bit of knowledge or a name, like you go to the doctor and they have a sign symptom complex and they say, oh, you have lupus.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we think the doctor just told us something,
yeah.
And it's just the name, and then all of a sudden everything has to do with lupus that you ever read.
Yes.
You start reading, it comes in, it gets associated with this label, and every lupus patient is different and they don't always have all the same stuff.
Yes, and
start thinking about it and worrying about it.
Exactly, and I think, when people come to me, they try me to do that with them with the Chinese medicine. They want to know that they have kidney yang deficiency, or they've been somewhere else and they say, oh, I know that I have fire in my heart. And it's like, okay, you know, it's just like, let's just take some deep breaths and just balance your body and trust your body's ability to heal. And people want a label. And so many people say to me that they get upset when they can't get a diagnosis for the problem they have. They feel better when they have a diagnosis. I'm like, no, you don't want a set diagnosis. You want it to just be an energetic that can balance and you can get rid of, but they hold on to it, and that's how they hold on to their congestion of energy and their blockages of energy and their mental inability to let go of what they have, because they hold on to it and they talk about it and they go to groups for it, and it's like it becomes them. So it's, you know, I just subscribe to a whole other way of letting things just flow and be, and they can change that way much easier.
Because one of the things, it's my experience, I mean, there's actually a lot of, you know, I think people that would not necessarily subscribe to Oriental medicine philosophy in our country,
mm-hmm.
in Europe too.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure these people have come to you, and I think it's important. The point you're making is that, you know, whether you believe in Chinese medicine philosophy or not, if you actually do the exercises, you know, and pay attention to them and get the flow, like in Tai Chi or Qigong or whatever,
yes,
is they work.
Yes.
Respective of what you want to believe about them, which I think a lot of people don't understand, that we don't have to know why things work always.
No.
But you got to do it to see if they do work.
It's true. And you're right. You don't have to believe in it for it to work. And there's that whole mind-body thing, you know, where the mind and body works together. But in this instance, you do these treatments, they're working with you energetically, with your energy body, which is your chakras and your energy centers and your discs and your acupuncture meridians. That's a non-physical part of yourself that gets touched with acupuncture, that gets touched with Qigong movements, that gets balanced. And so it gets balanced regardless of whether you think it will or not. It just does.
In some ways, it's probably better to have no opinion sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Those opinions limit us. It's limiting our energy. It's limiting our ability to move and change and be what all the amazing things that we can be, our limitless capabilities of having love and being connected to the earth and to allow our bodies to be everything that they can possibly be.
Because we don't have much time to talk, but you know, there's no commercial, we just talk and things, and it's really an opportunity for you to promote your books, like number 10, I would say. It's just to really take all the things you've learned about human nature and how to help people and help every rest of us get empowered.
Yes, exactly.
Stuff. And,
exactly.
So, could you just, like, maybe, if you know, and it's like, and if you'd rather talk about something else, it's okay, but I think one of the things I found with people come for help is a lot of times it's good to show them some examples of other people,
mm-hmm.
how they went through and what some of the difficulties were. Like, you make a little teaching tale,
mm-hmm.
you know, so they get an idea how these things flow.
Yes.
Could you sort of like maybe take, a couple people came to you and kind of show, like, well, this person maybe didn't believe in it, but this person was really overly focused on it, and, you know, how you work with people to get them to realize that the body has a balance. And whether it's the sympathetic nervous system versus the parasympathetic nervous system in the Western world, or whether it's oxygen or where it is,
right?
You know, it doesn't really matter. It's the fact that you get your body rebalanced.
Yes.
You know, totally, which balances your mind and all those things. So maybe you can just like show like how this works.
Oh, yeah, sure. I have one client. She's in her 80s, and she has tremendous anxiety and stomach discomfort, and she's been coming to me with that, for acupuncture, and she also does massage at my wellness center here. And I got her to be open to Qigong because she wasn't exercising. She lives in a senior center, and she wasn't doing any movement. And it's the most beautiful thing. You know, so I adapt my workout, my 20-minute workout for her. It is meant for, you know, most, the book was written for women, during menopause and post-menopause, but also, of course, men can do it as well. It's just most Qigong and Tai Chi books are written for men, so I wanted to write this for women. But it's the most incredible thing. I've picked exercises that are specifically good for her condition, to calm her heart and pacify her spirit and to strengthen her spleen energy, which governs the transportation and transformation of food. And that's what's very cool about Qigong. It does have these medical applications. But we got to one movement, and I knew it was going to be really difficult for her to do because she has some short-term memory loss. But Qigong and the patterns that you do when you do Qigong and Tai Chi, Tai Chi is actually taught in mental institutions, like in China, to help people to pattern their brains, to help them have more structure, and it really helps them to interact with other people and interact in their lives. So I just really wanted to help her memory. Well, I have been spending almost 2 months, once a week, for 2 months, on this one exercise, and she was just in, and she's remembering it, and she's getting it, and it's just so beautiful to watch her mental capabilities. You know, all the ones I've taught her before, she got much quicker, and she remembers, and she practices. This one is very complicated, the way one hand pushes up towards the heaven, one hand pushes down towards the earth. It's called Swan Stretches Her Wing. Then you bring your hands into a chi circle in the middle, and there's breathing, and it really has patterned her brain. And we would just sit for 20 minutes doing this very slow, and I'd give her all these mnemonic devices of how to remember how to put her hands in. It's just... You know, I used to work in nursing homes and help people with reality orientation and their memory, and it's just so beautiful to be helping this woman with her memory through these movements, and it's helping her with her anxiety as well.
That makes me think of, I think the Dolmans, but the people started doing for kids, everybody thought was retarded, but the problem was they couldn't read the books because their eyes weren't so good, so they need big print, but they're actually quite smart. You got it, but they just couldn't be taught because they couldn't read. You know, they made things bigger. But they did a lot of stuff with cross body mulching, like teaching people to crawl again, and you know, and move in certain pattern ways.
Doman, Dr. Doman.
Yeah, I mean, I talked to his, his daughter, but boy, she was nice, and I was really impressed with what they did. But it's just like all these things show up in different places. You know,
yes,
spontaneously, because they're really really old, and you know, and they put it in different languages and different pictures, but it's.
It's the same thing. That's great. I never made that connection between Swan Stretches Her Wing and Dr. Doman's patterning for people that have cerebral palsy and other problems where it patterns the brain. Wow, that's a great connection I just made between those two. Wow, because my younger sister was actually patterned because she stopped walking from her smallpox vaccination. And she got post-vaccinal encephalitis, and we had teams of people twice a day coming and doing the patterning on her. But it wasn't, and she didn't walk for 12 years. It wasn't until she came out to California after I was getting my master's degree in sports medicine and also studying acupuncture. I saw a movie where older people that hadn't walked in 10 years started walking with acupuncture. So this was so many years ago, before acupuncture was really even known. But my parents agreed to send her out, and my Tai Chi teacher's acupuncturist treated her every day for a month. It was the first time I ever witnessed acupuncture. At the end of the month, 1 week later, she started walking after not walking for 12 years.
Wow.
Yeah, but that's how... That's,
nice story.
Yeah, isn't that a great story? And that's why I know about the patterning. And Swan Stretches Her Wings is patterning the body the same way. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's one thing I like to buy. I mean, if you actually, I don't usually do this on the show, but if you actually, you and I have got to know each other and had a nice long talk, and you'd probably find out that I have a totally different perspective on Oriental medicine.
Uh-huh.
Not from a functional point of view, but from a philosophical mentally developmental point of view. You know, it's totally opposite.
Okay.
It's much more physiologic, but it doesn't matter because those are just words. But what I've always been impressed with Oriental medicine, which probably came out of India originally anyway, because you start looking at all the similarities. It's just, but the thing, part is so nice is about this patterning, however you say it. You know, teaching people to move in patterns.
Yes.
Thinking patterns, feeling patterns, and realize that, you know, that we really are we're more patterns, you know, of energy than things.
Yes.
You know, and patterns are nice because patterns are like, you know, patterns for making dresses. You know, you get something out of it. Patterns
sure.
can be changed. Patterns are fluid. Patterns are adaptive.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You know, and I think what happens a lot of times, particularly in Western medicine, and probably the case of your sister, is, you know, that your acupuncture Tai Chi guys, a lot of those guys are really open, you know, and kind of act like patterns.
Mm-hmm.
So even though you don't tell somebody about it, I think they get unconscious feel that we really are patterns, and these guys, like this guy or this lady is acting like a pattern.
Yes, yes.
And somehow people unconsciously pick this up, I think. And all of a sudden, the thing the doctor told them or the thing the parent told them that you can't do, they find out was actually not a true statement. You know, it's a limitation on our capabilities. And I find so much that the damage, you know, healthcare providers do and parents do, and it's not you know, evil meant, you know, we're intended, but it's like we over-limit ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't mean we're infinite. It doesn't mean we can do anything you want, necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, we can sure do a lot more than society has taught us.
Yeah.
And I find that regular medicine they haven't trained the doctors how to remove limitations on people appropriately, as the Oriental medicine guys have.
No, and they have so much limitation on themselves and their own being and their own lives, and they hold themselves in that place, and so they hold the people that come to them are holding themselves in those patterns. And so that works for them. I mean, maybe, you know, it's the same thing that they say that there are people that think that when you die, you just die. And so there are all these people laying up there in that world where we go when we die, and they're laying flat, you know, like they're dead. And then there's all these other people that are just flying around, you know, doing whatever they're doing. But the ones that think you die when you die, it's just laying there. I mean, there's just, but you see, for the physicians that feel that way and the people that come to them, they're not open to anything else. So this works for them.
I guess you found then too that, like, oftentimes when you approach a person, you're probably that can happen when you do hypnosis or you do a lot of hypnosis. After a while, you start like you're always working with trance even when you're talking to people in general.
Uh huh.
But you're always looking for something unusual to say or something unusual to do a little bit.
Uh huh.
Just to distract them from paying attention to themselves for a second, because then you can get some information in there, or you can, you know, do an exercise or something that they can't like resist you.
No, because it's just coming out. It's like their inhibitions are down, and they can really let out what's really there. See, people work so hard at staying in a box, and they just don't allow the energy to flow because there's so much fear for them to actually be who they really are.
That's a very, very nice metaphor. Can you tell us a little bit just about the history? I think a lot of people know about acupuncture nowadays, but ancient history, like where the people think it came from, and
With the acupuncture, the first story is that, and you know, and there was a soldier who had pain in his shoulder, and he got hit with an arrow, and when the arrow got taken out of his shoulder, there was no pain. So the first needles were actually made of stone and looking like. Just exactly like arrows, although today they've evolved into these very, very, very fine stainless steel needles that you can hardly see. They're so thin. And then with the Qigong, you know, the moxibustion, which is a heat treatment Chinese medicine, people would be sitting with their backs up against a fire, you know, warming their kidney energy, and they just realized that using fire and burning of mugwort would warm their bodies. And then the cupping, which is another technique we use, developed from these horns. They took the horns from animals, and they would create a vacuum in it and put it on the body, and the skin would draw up into the horn, and it would release stagnant blood in the body. And then the Qigong movements just started and the Tai Chi, they were imitating movements of animals. And then the Tai Chi started because families would have these sets which were more martial, and they would have all these sets that they would teach just their family. And the Tai Chi families would actually fight each other with these secret sets. So it has a more martial beginning, and then the Qigong is more medical. And applied to balancing your hormones, bone washing techniques to strengthen your bone, exercises to get into a state of spiritual awakening and opening up your heart energy, and other exercises to stretch your tendons and to strengthen your muscles, and then other exercises. I mean, Qigong is used for cancer to help people prevent and treat their cancer. There are these swinging motions that are used for working with cancer. And in China, when someone gets cancer, they put them right into a Qigong group. So with time, the Qigong has developed. At first, everyone was doing Tai Chi, and we were learning Qigong as just kind of like individual exercises. And we were told it was Qigong, but we didn't even realize it. And I've been doing this like 34 years.
You look that old.
What's that?
So you don't look anywhere near that many years of working on it.
Well, that's because Tai Chi and Qigong retards the aging process, which is, like, amazing. So when we first started doing it, we were all doing Tai Chi and Kung Fu, and then we would do these Qigong exercises. Now with time, Qigong has gotten very much more popular because you can learn Qigong. Anybody can learn Qigong. You know, whereas Kung Fu is more for the younger ones because there's a lot of sweeping and bending your knees and jumping, and it's more for the younger. Tai Chi you can do, you know, the rest of your life, but it is more athletic. But Tai Chi you need a teacher, a one-on-one teacher, really, to learn Tai Chi. Very hard to learn from a book or a DVD. But Qigong has become more widespread because it is easy to learn from a book. It's easy to learn from a DVD. And so because of that, you know, like with Tai Chi, my Tai Chi students, they need to commit once a week for a year to learn the set. Qigong, they can learn it in 8 sessions. So it's just very, and it's medical. So people, it's like giving yourself acupuncture when you do these movements. You're opening up the flow of qi in your meridians. You were talking about patterns before. Meridians are these energy pathways, these patterns that flow through your body. And so disease comes when there's a congestion of energy, not enough vital energy, not enough qi flowing through these meridians. So you do these simple exercises to open up the flow of qi in your body, to get those patterns going through your body and flowing. And when the qi is flowing, the blood is flowing, your hormones are balanced, your parasympathetic nervous system kicks in, you get more oxygenation within your body through lung, you know, increasing your lung capacity because you're doing breathing exercises while you're doing, you're stretching your muscles, you're softening your tendons, and you're also detoxifying and sending love and appreciation to your vital organs and your hormones. So it's just a whole body, energy body, physical body workout that helps you to create a more open pattern in your life.
So when you're teaching Qigong, you know, movements and stuff, I mean, are people, I mean, not the first time, because trying to imitate it, so it's got to pay attention. But I guess, do you, like, sort of feel yourself when you're doing them? Or, I don't want to say think, okay, because that's sort of a bad word here.
Yes, you
but
can.
But, I mean, you're focused, you know, it's like, instead of using your breath, like in Vipassana meditation, which is, like, kind of hard to pay attention to because it's easily distracted. But when you're using the body, I think people don't always appreciate that. It's a lot easier thing to focus on a body movement.
You know, yes.
It's changing, but you're, you know, it's like, it's changing, but you're still with it.
Yes.
And so I would think that this would be a really good meditative technique, especially for people who don't like to sit around.
Yes. Well, you're concentrating on the movements with your mind, and your mind empties. Where your mind goes, your qi follows. So you're concentrating on this form and how to move your body in this form. And so it empties your mind when you do it, and that's why it's meditation through movement. So and your eyes are open, so it really keeps you in your body, whereas you have to be careful sometimes with other meditations that are closed-eyed because a person is leaving their body. And the way I work with energy medicine is to teach people to stay in their bodies because we're on this earth now. And so it's a good way to stay in your body, but also to calm your mind and kind of like like when you're doing wave hands like clouds, it's like your mind, there's still chatter sometimes in your mind, but the thoughts are moving like clouds or like white clouds just passing before you, where you're not attached to them, but you're witnessing them, but they're just kind of coming and going. So it releases the stress and tension that we often get, you know, like thinking too much, almost like a monkey on our back. And so it really helps you meditate through movement and to feel very grounded and very connected within yourself. And you can actually have an experience of just being so at peace and so connected to a universal life energy around you and your internal structure of your energy within you. And so it gives you this tremendous peace and harmonious feeling and flow of energy through your body. You feel taller and you just feel more open and you feel very integrated into your physical body, which is so important.
I would imagine that you know, in your many years of teaching, at least in the United States, because I would imagine that there's, because when I see WS patients in general, is, you know, it's very rare, even with athletes. Okay, it's very rare to see somebody who has actually taken some time or was lucky enough just to learn this as a kid who's actually present in their body.
Yes,
you know, it's like, you know, like most of the things we do is with our body.
Yes.
In a sense, you'd think our center of gravity would be primarily in our physical instrument, you know, just practically and stuff. And when people come to you, it seems like hardly anybody realizes that they're actually in their body because they never pay attention to movements.
No,
you
know, they don't.
In feel the movement, I guess you were saying, you know, you're in Tai Chi, is you're kind of feeling the motion, right? Real slow and.
Yes. No, but a lot of people are out of their bodies and they don't even know it. They think it's okay to be in everybody's business all the time. It's like part of it is not being able to face themselves. So they spend all their time outside of their body in everybody else's business. Or they're so intellectual and they haven't developed their physical body and they walk into things, they just have no concept of their physical body at all. And it is, I have one client that I've been working with probably 5 or 6 years. It is incredible to see him. He is integrating into his body. Finally, after all these years, it's changing everything in his life. Because we are here. We need to stay integrated. We need to stay in our bodies. To know, I mean, I've taught that to my 3 kids. You know, they'd fall, or they'd run into a wall. I go, get back in your body. What the heck are you doing? You know, and one of my sons said to me, Mom, is there a door to get back in? How do I get back in? And I asked my energy medicine teacher, Christine Schenk, about that, and she told me there are many doors, and people have many different, you know, doors that each person has different doors they can use to get back in. So Qigong and acupuncture is another door. It's another way that people can open up to reintegrate their mind, body, and spirit so that they are one. They have this wholeness and this connection to themselves. And it is absolutely mind-boggling to see how many people are running around not present. In the moment, not present.
That's scary, yeah.
It is.
if you would do this for me, I'd appreciate it. But because what you're saying is really important, but since it's words, but you want to demonstrate it. Can you think of it? Because most people are probably sitting down at work right now, okay?
Right.
Or since they're at home later on, listen to the archives. Because the show's archived. You have free access to anytime you want. You can download, do whatever you want with it.
Uh-huh.
If you like it. If you don't like it, you don't ever have to mention it again. But so it's free there. But one of the things, can you... Just similar, I'm sitting down talking on the phone, and I was just moving my hand, okay?
Oh, sure.
You're doing that. Can you give us an exercise so the listeners can actually experience?
I would love to.
Right now, that they can just, everybody can do, and nobody
okay.
can laugh at them.
All right, you're sitting on a chair with your feet flat on the floor, and your back is straight, and your head, imagine that your head, the very top of your head, which is actually governing vessel 20, which is 100 meeting point, which raises the yang energy of your whole body, that point and from the top of your head, it's connected up above to the ceiling and through the ceiling to the heavens. There's a string connecting the top of your head to the ceiling and up into the heaven. And imagine your feet, the bottom of your feet, like roots into the floor, through the floor, and into the earth. So now you're connected from the top of your head, this beautiful golden string connecting you up to the heavens, and these amazing roots coming from the bottom of your feet, the soles of your feet, especially kidney one, which is the bubbling well point, which is the first point of the kidney meridian, and which is sparks all the energy of your whole body. And kidney one and your whole bottom of your feet are rooted into the earth and creating these roots. And you put your hands and you hold a little ball of chi in front of your lower dantian, which is your center of physical energy, 2 inches below your belly button. You take this ball of chi, your hands, you're about 6 inches apart, your palms are facing each other, your hands are holding this energy ball in front of your lower dantian, not touching your lower dantian, about 4 inches in front of your lower dantian, which is 2 inches below your belly button, and you're feeling the energy between your palms. And now you take a deep breath, and you slowly bring your palms away from each other as you, first we're going to, when your hands come towards you, you're going to inhale. When your hands go out, you're going to exhale. So bring your hands towards you a little bit and inhale. And your hands go out from each other and you exhale. Breathe in and inhale. Hands go out, palms still facing each other, and exhale. And when you inhale, blow your belly up like it's a big balloon. And when you exhale, deflate your belly. And this is opening up the flow of energy in your lower dantian, which nourishes your kidneys and nourishes your essence, the vital essence of your body, breathing in and out as your hands expand from each other and contract. In and out. In and out. And then take your hands and put them over your lower dantian, 2 inches below your navel. And take another 3 deep breaths. Breathe in. Your tongue is on the roof of your mouth. Your mouth is closed. You breathe in through your nose and expand your belly. Exhale and deflate your belly. Breathe in and bring all that healthy, vibrant, vital chi into your belly and into your entire body. Exhale and deflate. Feel your body expand, your whole entire body expand on your inhalation as you fill your body with beautiful, healthy, vibrant chi. Exhale. Breathe in. Fill your body. Exhale. And just take a moment. Concentrate on your lower dantian, your center of physical healing. Your eyes should be open throughout this whole exercise, keeping you centered in your physical body. Connect with yourself. Allow yourself to be whole, physically and energetically. Allow yourself to be in this moment, in this space, in this time, with yourself, connecting with yourself, with your energy body, with your physical body, integrated, whole, and present. And now relax your hands by your side. And remember this feeling, this wholeness, being filled with energy. Okay, Michael.
I'm very relaxed. But, I think people actually, well, even to listen to you, if you didn't do all of it, they've just noticed that they really do feel much more relaxed, much more balanced. You know, just even just from the words, you know,
yeah.
How your voice, how your prosody of your voice.
Yeah.
And I think this is a good example of how simple things really are.
They are.
You know, they always seem complicated because people tell us they're complicated.
We make it complicated.
You know, and stuff, and you know, it's like I talk sometimes. We talk about, you know, discussions about spirituality and stuff. You know, and you know, all these big models and stuff. And I go like, "What are you doing all this stuff for?" You know, it's like, you know, Meister Eckhart said, "If you want to know God, give up God." You know, or the Hindus, they go to the seventh chakra. You know,
uh-huh.
When you give up all your concepts about absoluteness and Atman, or the Buddhist is no, you know, non-perception, you know, place of no perception and no non-perception, or whatever they said, some
mm-hmm.
kind of thing, and it's just as simple as letting go. It really is.
Yes.
But if people are all so stubborn about it, you know, as we're taught, we have to make it difficult, or it has no value.
True, true, and it's really the simple things in life that have the most power and the most feeling and just really, really help people to heal. Really help people to heal. It isn't complicated.
Not at all.
Really isn't.
You know, it's just, especially with pain patients, I used to do a lot of pain patients, and, you know, sometimes I use medication, all these procedures, and finally one day I decided, like, forget all this stuff, just do this one little thing, you know, and you sort of defocus them on their pain for a second, you know, and distract them a little bit, and then you ask them, like, what do you feel right now? And they go, I don't feel nothing. And I go, that's good. See how easy it is?
Yeah.
You know, and of course, then you have to convince them to start practicing it because the little voice comes back and says, it can't be that easy. You know, it kind of worked. It's like magic. Magic won't work. I go, well, it did work for you.
Yeah.
Let me, one thing is, where if, you know, somebody's interested in learning Qigong, which is, I think, in some ways much more pragmatic for us. Because I would imagine if you practice this every day, while you practice Tai Chi every day, you'd probably get the same effects at the end.
Yes, you would. They're very similar routes of moving and cultivating Qi. But the National Qigong Association, actually I was their first woman president and now I'm chairman of the advisory council. And I love that organization and they have an annual conference every year. And it's nqa.org and they have a list of Qigong and Tai Chi practitioners all over. So people could log into that. There's also a huge resource of books and DVDs that you can find online, or ask in your local health food store if they know of a practitioner in your area.
But I can sometimes I think how would you call it? But you know, they have different names. But you know, the university when they have like evening classes,
yes,
weekend classes. I mean, almost all the universities, major universities, have like
yeah, or community colleges.
Yeah.
Yes, I've
even the university like Emory has it. And, you know, I'm sure. Rutgers probably has and stuff, but they actually have, you know, like education outreach.
Yes,
people really in the college, and, you know, people from the community come in and stuff, and no doubt in Emory, a lot of times they'll have Tai Chi course or they have Qigong course.
Yes, you're right.
For like $100, and you get to go there once or twice a week, you know,
uh-huh.
University. So I guess there's probably lots of places you can learn if you're curious about where to look, right?
Yes, and also the athletic clubs have it. And when you brought up the community college, I actually taught at Brookdale for many years, Brookdale Community College in Lincroft, New Jersey. And that is a great, I hadn't thought of that, that's a great place to look is the local schools and community centers and gyms. And yeah, it's getting more and more pronounced. And you could even, if you know an acupuncturist, call a local acupuncturist and ask them if they know of a Qigong teacher in the area or a Tai Chi teacher.
I would imagine that acupuncture is long-term efficacy is much better than somebody who practices Qigong.
Yes.
Than by itself. Is that true?
No, it's absolutely true that you know, it's the acupuncture is more powerful when it's provided by a person that has been practicing and cultivating their Qi through Qigong or Tai Chi because their energy is a certain way, and so when they use the needle, and that's why historically, and that's why I became an acupuncturist, because I was training my Tai Chi and Qigong and Kung Fu 4 to 6 hours a day, and I was building up my own internal energy. And what I realized is traditionally in China, people that studied the martial arts and the healing arts the way I was would become acupuncturists because there's a way of using that energy to help others. And then from there, I also got my master's degree in sports medicine, so I would have the Western background to teach it and to give me more, standing in the community of the Western physician. And then from there, now for 10-plus years, I've been studying with Christine Schenck and learning energy medicine, which is so incredible because some people have energetic illness. So when we were talking, you were talking before about your patient that was in pain. Sometimes, you know, pain is very subjective. I have a client that I'm working with that has had pain all over her body and is now, through our 3 years of working together, the pain will leave and then come back and can't understand why she can go a whole week without pain, but the pain was coming from a completely energetic reason, a completely energetic cause. And now that we've been working energetically, the pain is leaving. And it's so hard to realize that when you live in pain every day. What do you mean? How can this be from something, you know, of how I treat myself inside my body and how I leave my body and how, you know, but because it's so hard to hear. You know, you want it to be something else, but there really is deep layers of healing that can happen within. And oftentimes it's stemming from how we treat ourselves, how we leave ourselves all the time, or how we beat ourselves up inside because of, you know, maybe something that happened over and over in our life. And we really need to take responsibility for our own healing. And if you are a person that is projecting everywhere, oh, look at him, oh, and then, you know, and everybody bothers you, and everything wrong in your life is because of that person over there or whatever, that's a real good symptom that those projections are coming from inside of a partnership, a personal union within yourself that needs to heal.
It made me think that of some people. I haven't thought about this before, but you know, I was just thinking that if I was talking to somebody,
yeah,
and they're bitching about that person, blah, 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 and just for a moment you just go, because you get in trance when I talk to you, kind of induce them, you know, sit across your desk talking or whatever, however you do it and stuff. And I was just thinking, what would they say if you go like, what do you think they were in the universe?
Hmm.
Just, you know, I can't think of they like shut off that thought for a second.
Yeah.
You know, then they're going to have to stop, and then you can put your little things in there.
Yeah.
Some things over the years, especially with pain, chronic pain, you know, I'm not talking about, you know, somebody has totally crushed bones and there's still injuries there probably, or cancer pain or
severe arthritis.
You know, something that's actually still, the pathology is still going on.
Yes.
You know, which is a different situation because those are like, you know, it's like arthritis. They call it chronic pain, but it's really not chronic pain. It's acute recurrent pain that doesn't go away.
Yeah, this is
it's less than, you know, sometimes it's missed if it comes back. And that's a different physiology. And for years, I was doing pain management. I couldn't figure out like why our clinic was so good, considering we were like the last. Other than we were the last guys on the podium toll.
Yeah.
You know, it's like if you didn't work where we were, you had nowhere else to go because nobody else ever take you because they're so problematic. And you know, and so after we years of work with people, I finally thought, and I can't say this is true, but you know, it's almost as if chronic pain is you know, is an adaptation to the in the brain that is all it does is reinforcing a memory of how it was before. You know, but it seems so real still.
Yeah, that's
that your motor system feeds out the appropriate behavior for this delusion. Because if you talk to them and distract them and ask them how to be hurt right now, they'll say no.
A pain pattern going back
like
to what you were
saying. A learned
before.
Pattern.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that, you know, and we don't like it. So as soon as you don't like something, like it makes it stay even more.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think a lot of times, it's, you know, you just kind of sort of convince them some way that, well, it's just a memory. You know, and even if there's a little residual pain, because I learned this when I off a staircase one time and I was like in college, so I was too dumb to know what to do about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't know about narcotics. I knew about aspirin. They didn't even have Motrin those days, I don't think. You know, so like you're going to go, well, it hurts. And you go, it's going to hurt you. And I go, okay. So what are you going to do, right? You go, well, it's going to hurt. I'm stuck. But what I learned real fast was, well, just because it hurts, I don't have to dislike it. I don't have to hate it. I don't have to spend my time thinking about it. You know, and what people haven't learned too much is that hurting is, I mean, not acutely when you hurt, break your toe or something, but chronic hurting, you know, it's just like any other sensation. It's like hot, it's like cold.
Yeah.
You know, it's how you attach to it.
Yeah, it's like I'm hurting.
Yeah, and then you reinforce.
Really
and they used to do, I don't know if they still do this, but people have really, really bad situations. They'll go up sometimes in the frontal lobes, and they'll, not a lobotomy, but it's a pain track you can cut there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember the first time, it was like a long time ago, this was like the first time they did this, and this guy was like, you know, I mean, so bad, he was high, he was in the hospital all the time. You know, and so they did the surgery, the next day they came down, and the guy was like playing cards with people. The doctor looks at him and goes, because they thought it would make the pain go away, they didn't know what they were doing, really.
Mm-hmm.
The guy goes, like, what are you doing? Did the pain go away? And he goes, nah, hurting's as bad as it ever was. And he goes, like, how come you can play cards now? You couldn't do anything before. He goes, I don't care about it anymore.
There you go.
You know, I don't care about it.
There you go. Hey, do you know about Dr. Sarno, Mind Over Back Pain? He's in New York.
Yep.
A lot of my patients have gone to him, and, like, their back pain is gone. It's really amazing. It's really, really an amazing concept, what we're talking about.
I like what you do. I mean, sometimes better than even like really evolved doctors do.
Mm-hmm.
Because Western medicine is still so, like, here's the problem, let's fix it. Here's the problem, let's fix it. Instead of saying, you know, we're going to have a lifetime of problems. That's just how life is. And what we need to do is teach you how to flow with the problems.
Yeah.
And that it's okay if you don't like what happened to you, but you can't buy that.
We have to work together.
Right.
I mean, physicians that do that, yes, they're great. They, you know, they diagnose and they use all the testing and they come up, you know, and they make these recommendations with Western drugs that oftentimes are necessary. It's not like we don't need that medicine. It's just, it needs to work together with this other half of the medicine. That's the problem. And not for one to be threatened by the other, but for us to work together. The same thing that's happening politically, the same thing that's happening in our world. We have to work together. And not just across the ocean, but work together inside ourselves. That's what I was talking about before, this partnership within ourselves, that we're not fighting within ourselves. A lot of the illness and the pain is coming from that inner struggle, which has now gotten, you know, extended out to the Western medicine versus the alternative Eastern medicine. We need to work together for the good of ourselves, for the good of our community, for the good of our country and our planet. And it's time. It's time for change. I'm so excited that in my lifetime I'm seeing it. I never thought acupuncture and Qigong would be so mainstream now. It's really working towards the mainstream.
I guess it's like all the old, you know, mystics used to teach, whatever persuasion they, in disguise they came to us in.
Yes.
You know, it's always about, you know, until you take time to focus on yourself, you know, and be present and, you know, with what's going on in your own life, you have no appreciation, truly, of what it is to be somebody else. So if you're not, you haven't learned to be kind to yourself, how are you going to be kind to anybody else, you know, effectively?
But that's so hard because, you know, and again, this is all the work I've been doing with Christine Schenk, who's in Hamburg, Germany, but it's about this domestic violence inside of ourselves. And it's old, old patterns. I can't tell you how many people I work with that are absolutely mean to themselves, sabotage themselves, hate themselves, put themselves down all the time. How can we come out and be with other people? And then it's a complete act, and you, all you do is try and please everybody else, and you're trying to please everybody else because what you're trying to learn how to do is how to please yourself inside, you know, and find that love and that connection and that compassion for your own self. And you know, it's between the energy system and the physical body, which are sharing life together on this earth. And so that's where the illness is oftentimes. That's the energy medicine of healing this split, healing this, you know, personal connection with yourself first, so you can be at peace and stop the fighting. And, you know, this, it's a tremendous amount of work because it's an old pattern.
Pattern.
It's an old pattern.
Very old pattern.
very old, but we can create a new pattern and a new way of being with ourselves and with our world and a new way of being with our pain. And sometimes this is the pain that people are telling us about. Not everyone, but oftentimes this is the root pain, the core pain. And this is, as you started this conversation, this is not something a Western physician has any ability, any time, any inclination to ever bring up with a client. That's why there's so many alternative medicine practitioners out there.
Once you have a feeling for how it works,
mm-hmm.
which is a little better than understanding is good, but feeling is better.
Yeah.
I mean, because then you sort of have a knowingness of what to do, and that way if you don't have a fact, it sort of pops in your head.
Yeah.
But actually, it's funny, like, how little time it really takes if the person who they're talking to understands how things work a little bit, you know, I mean, functionally.
Yes.
You know, and so regular doctors could do a lot more, even with 5 minutes, if they knew how to use the 5 minutes properly, you know, for empowering people. And it made me think of a little story, which is, this happened recently, because my youngest son has had a lot of problems and stuff, a lot of bad stuff really happened to him. And his mother was sort of one of those victimizing people. I'm not saying anything bad about her, just the fact's a fact. And so I've been trying to work on it for years, because I can't understand. I go, Andrew, how can you feel bad about yourself? I mean, I know how people do this, but, like, that's an alien concept to me. You know, you can feel bad about your behaviors. You can feel you're inappropriate. You can feel remorseful. You can feel ashamed that you did something that you knew you could have done better.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going, like, but how do you not feel, like, good about who you are inside, just inherently? You know, I mean, I know why they don't, but it's like, that's like not how God made the universe.
No, it's not how we were born.
And
things happen to us.
You know, And so finally, so the other day he calls me up, and he has a couple of friends. He's got some new friends because all the stuff happened. And so the other day he goes, well, Dad, do you think I felt a lot better because I've been really depressed? I go, so I think you're doing better, Andrew. You got to, like, stay up so late at night and get some more sleep and do some things you're not doing, but that's fine. So I learned yesterday, and he goes, you know, Dad, he said, you should have called me last night, because I need to know where you are. And he goes, well, I'm down at my friend Tommy's house and his mom, his farm and stuff. He goes, you know what? Now that I got three new friends, you know, now we've had for a while. You know what's nice? He says, they don't actually try to make me feel bad. they try to help me, you know, and they honestly would like me to do better.
Good.
You know, and he goes, I'm really happy now because it's like somebody actually, it's his peers.
Yes, it's
giving
so
him a little
important.
Reinforcement that, you know, that we're all inherently good.
Yeah, I mean, that's
she
so
might be crappy.
Yeah.
We're inherently good. You know, and it was like I'm going, thank you, God, that was a good one.
Yeah, it is good, and all your listeners should make sure that they're hanging out with people when they're really hanging out with people that really care and really like them, and that you don't have to change yourself to be liked, that they love you for you.
Yeah, which has nothing to do with your labels, nothing to do with it, just you.
Just you.
So simple, isn't it?
Yeah. That's great. I'm so glad he's doing better.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
I was thinking, would you do with your students, I guess is probably the best word, or your associates, maybe it's a better word. I don't know what the best word is for describing when we help people. You know, it can happen spontaneously just with regular people interacting, too.
Oh, yeah. No.
If you're willing to pay attention and listen, you know, and shut off your brain for a second, see what your heart tells you.
Yeah.
Which I guess is why the Egyptians thought, you know, I mean, the Egyptians weren't stupid. They knew your heart wasn't where it thought.
Yeah.
But they knew that these higher feelings were really were a much better way and path.
Absolutely.
Concepts.
Absolutely.
So, do you have any more books coming out or anything the audience needs to know about?
No, maybe. I would love to, but it's just going to take a little time and just working really hard with my clients right now and with my my daughter who's a ballet dancer, getting her settled in a very tough economic time for the arts. And you know, so I have three teenagers, 15, 17, and 19.
You're a busy lady.
Very busy. And so I'm really, really enjoying the one-on-one and really being present in my office, in my wellness center, and working with my staff, and just—it's just really nice to just find that peace and happiness right where I am right now. And if another book's going to come, it will. We'll see. You know, I'm writing all the time, but You know, I have a feeling it'll be a lot about what I've been talking about, you know, with the...
I look forward to it, and when it does, let us know.
I will.
We'll get you back, and I really appreciate and honor the fact that you took time for our show. I think it's good for the audience. It's good for me always.
Thank you.
I wish you the very, very best with everything, and I hope all your three teenagers turn out to be, like, 5 times more compassionate than their mother.
Thank you. Should I tell my website real quick?
Yeah, do that.
Healing, the number 4, the letter U.com.
Actually, if you want to, because you can, if you send Tacy an email with your site, we can put a little link on their site just for free.
Oh, I would love that. Thank you for having me today.
My pleasure,
dear. This was so enjoyable.
Take care.
You too.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining Dr. Michael John Kell on Mind, Brain, and Body. Please tune in next Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time for another edition of Mind, Brain, and Body, right here on Voice America Health and Wellness.